big rocks and all that sort of thing.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello. Sorry, John. Will you please interrupt the intro even? This is a new level. Go on, what are you saying?
Well, you just started the intro. I didn't realise we were starting.
Oh.
You didn't give me the signal. You just started randomly talking about some ad on Acast.
Well, on Spotify, when our readers click into Spotify to read the pod...
Well, you see, this is the problem. What they need to do is get the transcription that you provide every episode for the lawyers.
Full background detail on every act mentioned.
Yes, that's right, like the proper podcast people do. If you'd like to buy any of the books or albums mentioned in this podcast, we've got our own Amazon shop. That's what we should fucking do.
If you happen to have a double-edged wang,
yeah,
that of unfeasibly large dimensions, yeah, as per,
please contact Mick Wall because he likes to see all of that. just to know what he's up against.
What are you saying about Amazon?
We should have an Amazon shop. You know where they like everyone who mentions we mentioned the Starbenders as we did last,
and which we're about to again. Yeah.
Then someone goes, I'd quite like to buy a Starbenders album. I'll go on Amazon and do so.
Yeah, but how do we benefit?
Well, we have our own Amazon shop, which we put the Starbenders in. If they buy it from our Amazon shop, then we get 5p or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, that's definitely worth the
effort. Yeah, really worth it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, you happy for me to start now, are you? Is that okay?
Please do.
Welcome to a very special edition. Yeah. Of the podcast.
And what makes it special today, Mick?
It's this, John.
That's the bit I like. Readers, if you could see his little face at the moment, he's so happy. It does sound like Vince, doesn't it?
And then the dealer comes in. That's fucking proper music.
Yeah, it is. Very good.
That's very good. Yeah. I'd like to see a festival called Proper Fucking Music.
Yeah.
Headlining would be Steel Panther. Well, no. Headlining would be the dealer.
Yeah, the dealer.
In his new lineup.
With Tie Me Down and...
Tie Me
the
Down.
Other ones we suggested. Mark Slaughter.
Mark Slaughter.
Yeah.
Who was the drummer?
Jason Blots. Bonham. It was the Blots.
Oh, the Blots, of course. Of course. Yeah. What was I thinking? Yeah. And then next on the bill, Steel Panther.
Because let's alert the readers to the fact you've spent the week trying to identify the Starbenders and which ones are men and which ones are women. Because you found it very confusing.
I definitely had Starbender confusion. when we were perusing the promotional material.
Yeah.
I.e., is that a girl or a boy? In fairness, that is the age-old rock and roll question.
It is in rock and roll, yeah. And now, you know, these days doesn't matter.
And that doesn't matter. You go, well, it's both.
Yeah.
It's neither.
Yeah,
it
doesn't matter.
It's many.
There's just four entities in the Starbenders.
Yeah. Gender non-specific.
Yeah. And they just come at you with their rock and roll.
They do. Yeah. They do. However, one of our readers, whose name I cannot remember, should I look it up?
You should.
Yeah, I should. Well, you keep talking. You keep talking while I... You see, we put a lot of preparation into a show like this. And it can't just be, you know, you can't just...
Maybe we'll start a crowdfunder for you to get a second phone. And then you could look up two things.
Well, it makes a change for me to be on I can't fucking find it. Anyway, there's a picture of them. This very helpful person underneath has captioned it. Chick, dick, chick, dig. There you go. And on closer inspection, when you enlarge it enough in the correct area, I believe he's right.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is Chick Dick, Chick Dick. Maybe that could be the festival. Mick and John present. Mick Wall.
I'm not getting involved in your promotions that are about to bomb and probably cost you what remains of your
vast
music
fortune.
Business fortune
vast
built
fortune.
Up over the years.
Do you know, some wanker, one of my many contacts, was on some forum talking about the Eagles book and encouraging people to read it.
We should say people are... Mick Wall has written a book about the Eagles.
Very.
This is what you need to know.
Yes, exactly.
Currently in all bookshops.
Yeah, you wouldn't fucking
good
know
and
it because
bad.
Clearly my publishers in London have more interesting.
No, but it's a big hit in America. That's
I don't like to. I don't. Yeah, I'm
that's
not
where it
one
needs to.
To
be a hit.
Yes.
In America.
Yes. It's
you're
doing
like
well
Def Leppard. It doesn't matter if you sell shit here.
Do
it doesn't
you know,
matter.
You say, you're. I am. I'm like Def Leppard in like 87.
Yeah. We're like, everyone here hates you, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So he said one of the people came on and went, I'm not buying that book. I would never buy any book by Mick Wall and add to his vast Malibu mansion.
Yeah. That's so.
I thought, well, that's got me, isn't it?
But they're so bitter apart from anything else, isn't it? It's like, what? I mean, how bitter can you be? What are you going to do for your whole life? You're not going to go into Tesco's because you don't want to add to their vast profits. You know, where are you going to go?
But also, you and I are sitting here today in Oxfordshire looking out the window at the pissing rain.
Yeah.
Using the cheapest shit equipment that I can afford.
Yeah.
On my own.
Yeah. Well, as you say, it's very much your show.
So you get a lot of that. You get a lot of that.
Bitter people.
Yeah. Yeah. Where were we before that, though?
Well, you were talking about your Malibu mansion.
Yeah. No, it's gone. It's gone. Yeah.
It is quite worrying.
When
he's saying it's gone, I'm not at this point sure whether he's referring to the mansion
or the brain
or whether he's lost his train of thought completely.
Yeah. No, it's the latter. Because I know.
You've still got the.
But I know this. I know this much. This much is true.
Yeah.
I've never had a mansion in Malibu.
No, you haven't. You've been to a mansion.
I've been to many.
Yeah.
Well, I've been to one or two.
Yeah.
So anyway, John, let's get back into the exciting world of our festival.
Yes.
So you've got at the top the dealer, Steel Panther second on the bill, openers Starbenders.
Well, that's only three bands.
It's
a stretch to call it a festival, isn't it?
Because you put Poison.
If you've seen
in there.
Festivals these days, you have to have about 300 bands. That's part of what makes them so tiring. You know, because they're all competing against each other, they all have to go on for 5 days.
Ugh.
And they have to have, you know,
ugh,
1,000 acts
and then
or
you've
something.
Got the wellness
and
tent.
You know, jugglers and, you know, what do I want to see a fucking juggler for? I don't look at them when they're busking in the high street. I'm not going to look at them when they're at, you know, Glastonbury.
Fire eaters. Yeah. I get an extinguisher. Put them out of everybody's misery.
Yeah.
Like
just
that.
Don't want to stilt. People walk on stilts.
And they're always standing down the front.
Yeah.
You know, cunts on stilts watching the band while your normal good type of punter like us.
So what we're saying is we're stripping the festival back to three
old
bands.
School. Old
three
school.
Bands.
Well, no,
one
four.
Day.
Four.
Four bands.
Put
one
Poison
day.
In there.
One day. That's it.
Are there any...
Like Donington used to be. One day.
When it was
doesn't
good.
Doesn't need to be a weekend.
No.
Doesn't need to be... You don't need to be there on Thursday.
No, and fuck all this in the middle of summer shit. What you want is a cold, bitter, rainy...
Winter's day.
Winter's day in the mud.
In some... I remember we went to a festival, I don't think it ever happened again, that was in the middle of a motor racing circuit in somewhere like Long Marston or somewhere. It was somewhere outside of Stratford-upon-Avon.
Are you sure you're not talking about Donington Racetrack?
No, it wasn't Donington. It was a different one. It was only ever happened once. And it was just the worst. You know, it was one of those ones where you're outside at 2 a.m. trying to get a cab because you're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
You and thousands of others.
Exactly, yeah.
And bizarrely, no passing cabs in
the
field.
Yeah, weirdly, there were no cabs. And there were
no Uber.
No.
No Uber.
Before Uber, no mobile phone. You couldn't phone anyone to say, this is where I am.
See, that's proper stuff.
Yeah.
You'd have to, in our festival, you have to hand over your mobiles before you go
in. Yeah. Well, there'd be no signal. We're not bothering putting up masts or whatever it is.
And for sale, all you've got is plastic bottles of cider. One in 10 will be filled with piss.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of a lucky dip.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's fun.
And there's a merchandise tent which has got transcriptions of our podcast, which you can buy.
And exclusive T-shirts to buy. Kirk Cobain.
The Kirk Cobain T-shirt.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we'll be selling our own cologne, our range of cosmetics, Colin Klein.
Yeah. Well, you can do your essential oils.
Oh,
people will love
Mick
that.
And Kirk's.
Yeah.
Or Kirk's Kirk. Essential, definitely not gay oils.
Yeah.
Starting with lavender.
Yeah, you always start with lavender. I think it's the...
Well, because it's a medicine in a bottle.
Yeah.
You see, medicine chest in a bottle.
Yeah.
That's what we used to say back in the old days before, you know, whatever. So anyway, John, that's our festival sorted.
Yeah.
What else were we going to talk about today?
Well, you were holding up something you'd been sent this morning through the post.
That's true.
Because you'd made a contribution.
That's true. What I
the Starbenders do rock. It has to be said.
Fucking rock.
Yeah.
And what I love about the Starbenders, and I bow to no one in my love of Steel Panther, okay, or the Dealer.
Yeah.
Oh no, Steel Panther. But what I really love about the Starbenders is they're not making fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're real.
Yeah.
This is real, John.
They really are.
Chick dick, chick dick.
Yeah. In the same way that Motley Crue used to be.
Well, they were sort of.
Dick, massive dick head, massive dick.
Yeah, well, I think that was originally when
that
they
was
first
the,
went
that
out
was
in
the original
clubs.
Lineup.
That was that was what they were originally called.
Yeah,
before they went for the far less useful Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Right. So you were saying about a magazine
that had come through the. Oh, I didn't know it was a magazine. It's come through the post.
Yes.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah. I'll explain to the readers. It's a Record Collector magazine special on the Foo Fighters.
Record Collector.
Esteemed.
I mean, already the excitement levels are through the roof.
Record Collector has been around for decades.
Do you read Record Collector?
We all read Record Collector.
Would you ever have a copy of the Led Zeppelin 3 with the wrong catalogue number? I mean, that's worth £50.
I was at the Record Mart down in, the south coast of Wales.
Standing
in
next to Lingy.
Fishing
standing
village.
Next to Lingy, he's found an album. Actually, the best one ever was when we went to the Status Quo at Minehead. Butlins,
where I did the fan convention.
You did the fan convention many years later.
Yeah, of course,
because
I'm younger
this
man.
Was,
you know.
This was when it just seemed impossibly...
Glamorous.
Impossibly distant. The Status Quo was celebrating their, I think it was their 25th anniversary. I thought, how can anyone be going for 25 years?
Yeah.
Let's go to Minehead in Butlins to celebrate.
Yeah.
And we all had to stay, talking of staying, you know, I can't bloody go home. We all had to stay in the chalets in Butlins. And
that's an authentic experience.
Of course, Lingy was there, Dave Ling.
With all his merch getting ready to sign. Well,
yeah, there was an on-site record shop. Right, a tiny little... I mean, you can imagine what a record shop in Butlins would be like. You know, a tiny little...
With a bag.
Yeah. And Dave, I shit you not, Dave came out of that show and he's holding this record up and he's going, oh, I can't believe I found it. And he found, this is no word of a lie, he found a Bathory picture disc that he'd been wanting for years.
Bathory?
Bathory.
Picture disc?
Picture disc.
And he's like, I can't believe.
In Minehead Butlins.
Wow, that's extraordinary.
I mean, how many people in Minehead Butlins do you think were on the lookout for a Bathory picture disc.
This has very sort of Raiders of the Lost Ark energy.
It does, it does.
Lingy of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Or like some kindly person had like pre-bought it and left it there for Dave to find because they knew it would make him happy.
And there's a name for that person.
Mick Wall.
No. There's a name for that person. Fate.
Yeah. Dr. Fate.
Dr. Destiny.
And
his friend.
So Dave came out clutching his Bathory picture disc and he was very pleased.
Mm,
yeah.
Cool.
That's what record collector means to me.
Well, you see.
Yeah, look in the back. Tell me how much my original edition of Rainbow Rising is worth.
Well, that's, you know, that is very useful information.
Yeah, it is.
The interesting thing, of course, the paradox is that the people that read Record Collector for that kind of information, it's like, it's worth £84, you know, would never sell them.
Here's my business idea, right? The BBC or anyone, please. Sky, I mean, you could phone your old mates at Sky up if you want to. Now who's interrupting?
How does it feel to get a taste of your own medicine?
Mick Wall and his vintage memories. Gather round, everyone. Did you know he used to have a show on Sky?
My kids are the same. Whenever I say, when I used to work at Pizza Hut, they're like, no, not this fucking story again.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you when I used to work?
No, I'll tell you that another day.
Yeah. Go on. Anyway, what were you saying?
Record collector. My business idea.
Yeah, oh, yes.
For any TV company that wants it, Antiques Roadshow, but it's just records.
Yes.
And they would all be standing around, Lingy would get his Bathory, and like, oh, this is from, you know, 1982.
You and I could be the judges.
And they, you get to the big reveal, and they go, you know, the people on that Antiques Roadshow, they always act like they're astonished. They go, what do you think it's worth? And they're like, oh, well, I hope it's worth at least £50. You know, you can see them thinking, please say please say 16,000.
It's not the money.
And so, yeah, and then someone goes, oh, it's worth 16,000. Their eyes are like going round in fucking circles. But they, oh, well, I'd never part with it.
No,
I'm leaving this to my daughter.
Yeah, and she'll flog it.
Yeah.
First day I'm dead, mate, in the shop.
No, but yeah.
The ones that I like are the bittersweet ones where, you know, Old crone turns up with various generations, and these are some etchings my father did in the First World War. Here's one of his friend Tommy, who had the left side of his face blown off. And if you look carefully, you can just see he's written a little elegy to, fuck me, Tommy, where's your face? You know? And we've got hundreds of these.
Yeah.
And they'll go, it's extraordinary.
I mean, they're very lovely things.
What they say, they go, clearly, you know, they are priceless when it comes to sentimental value.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
However, in the real world, I wouldn't wipe my arse.
No, they're probably not worth more than a few pence each. That happened with Lingy and his Bathory pictures. In the real world, Dave, not even Bathory wants this back. Not even Music for Nations want it for their warehouse marked, please burn and recycle.
Those picture discs and coloured vinyl. Do you remember Jem that worked at Music
for Nations? I do remember Jem. Yes.
Oh, what a guy. We would have some fun there.
When did I see Jem? I saw it when I ran into Xavier. A pub in Clapham. Jem's one of his buddies.
Let me just unpack that. When I ran into Xavier Russell at a club in...
No, it's a pub in Clapham.
Oh, sorry. Oh, a pub. That makes more sense.
He was drinking in this pub in Clapham, talking about... I could just hear this...
I've got to say, what were you doing at a
gig? Well, I was meeting my friend Richard, and then I could hear this voice. Can only be Xavier. And so around, he was talking to...
Jem,
yeah.
Well, Jem used to crack me up. I mean... I was talking to him about picture discs and coloured vinyl. He goes, it's amazing. He goes, you know, we would deliberately only put out like 1,000 copies of something, knowing people would want more. And then we put out the special silver disc edition. And remember when they did that extra weight? It was like 480 grand
GSM or something.
And it was like Master of Puppets. And they did it in two discs because... Yeah. If you, you know, that they
the grooves are so far apart.
Exactly, that the sound quality is fucking, you know. And I said to him, I said, why the hell did you? Because they would do a gold one, a silver one, a green one, whatever they had. And I said, why did you do that awful brown one? He goes, it was the only colour we had left. He goes, we had this brown. It was going cheap because no one wanted it.
Yeah.
So we did it. He goes, we sold about 3,000 copies. Yeah.
The magic of the picture disc.
The magic of vinyl.
Because the picture disc had the... I'm trying to think how they did it. Did they actually stamp the ink onto the vinyl? I don't know how they did it now. It's a mystery. If anyone knows how to make a picture disc...
Readers.
Maybe it's an article in Record Collector about it. If they've never done that article, I suggest they do it.
Well, I'm sure... Well, why don't you do it, John? You get paid.
No, you...
You get paid some of the lowest rates in Europe.
Can you imagine the feeling you'd had if you sat down at your machine to write that? Oh.
Warm feelings inside. Yeah. Feelings of contentment.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Record Collector. It's a venerable,
arrived through the post.
Because who's you'll notice who's on the cover. Who's that, John?
That's a very special friend of Kurt Cobain called Dave. I was going to call him Dave Russell. Why was I going to call him Dave Russell?
Well, there you go. There's our next shirt. We've got Kurt Cobain
and Dave Russell on the drums. Dave Russell on the drums. And whatever the bass player was called.
Well, it was Chris.
Crisp. He's gone far right, hasn't he? Crisp.
Has he?
Yeah, he's a Trumpist or something like that.
Crisp?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so.
You sure he just hasn't horribly misunderstood?
Well, I don't know.
He's an artist.
He's got Bob Rock issuing a correction as we speak.
When I said...
Yeah, Nicky hadn't played on any of the... When I said he'd only recently begun taking bass lessons, what I meant was... Yeah.
He can play now.
He's been giving bass lessons.
Oh!
That's what I meant to say.
I will find that quote in a minute. But it's like, so we hadn't met up for years and Nicky walked in and he starts playing the bass and I'm like...
Whoa, dude.
What's going on?
Yeah.
And that's when Nicky told me he'd been having lessons for the last 8 years and he's now a really good bass player.
Yeah. He can even read music.
Well,
I don't know if he can do
fucking
that.
Fucking go mad. I know he's written a few books. Doesn't mean he's read any, does it?
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, back to Record Collector. So you'll notice that Dave, what's his name?
Dave Grohl. Dave Russell.
Dave Russell. The famous guy from the Foo Fighters, Dave Russell. That's my story. I've got to see.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I
thought you were having some sort of mental delusion there that you were Dave Grohl.
No. I think you're fine. I'm just going to try and find the.
While you're finding that, there's a great story by it, when you're an author. So the publishers always tell you if you go into a bookshop. And they've got copies of your book, offer to sign them because the bookshop, you know, they can sell copies better than. And John Ronson, very funny writer.
He's a big fan of mine. I always say to him, John, look, fuck's sake, leave me alone.
he'd written a book called Them.
Yeah, yeah, I've read it, yeah.
Yeah, which was very, very good. But he was in a bookshop in New York, and they had a big pile on a table of his book, and he thought, oh, I'd better offer to. But, you know, he's got this sort of bumbling Louis Theroux-type persona. He goes up to the counter, and he goes to the guy, I wrote Them. And and the guy thinks he just pointed to a big them. Pile of books. Yeah, I wrote Them. Do you want me to sign them? And yeah, it yeah. And I thought
hilarity
ensued. I thought that's what was happening to you there. Was like you were saying, yeah, that's
no,
me.
No, I'm just.
That's
showing
mine.
Because you.
Oh, know. Let me see. Let me see.
There you,
it
go,
over.
There you go. There
here
you
we go,
go. There you go. There you go.
I'm being.
I'm passing over.
Passing the flame
for the
well,
record.
There's a picture of Kirk. The first thing you see is a picture of Kirk. The headline, which I've thought long and hard about, is A Band Is Born.
I mean, come on. You should see what they rejected before they got to that.
Yeah.
They don't piss around on Record Collector, mate.
Then they've now begun the Stanfest with the utterly superfluous words, the renowned author, Mick Wall.
That's me.
You don't need to...
No, I think you
do. Be told that?
Yeah.
Don't we
well,
not?
No, they're not telling me. Are they? They're
what
reminding.
Which other Mick Walls are there?
Well, they're, do you know what? It's funny you should say that. About 20 years ago, okay, in the days when people would ring you, I got a phone call. And do you remember Bottom, the TV show Bottom?
Yes.
With Rick Mayall
and... Yes, Aid Edmondson.
Yes. Well, many years previously, I'd worked with them on... Bad News and all that shit. And I got a phone call from their promoter, who I know. And basically, they're going on tour. They need a tour program. Would you write it? I went, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who wouldn't? Yeah. Like that. Oh, man. I wanted it to be good. I mean, it's not like, you know, oh, so-and-so's going on tour. It's a band, you know. I thought, this would be great. This could be a new opportunity for me, you know. Yeah. I sweated on that fucking thing. Honestly, about 3 weeks it took me. I sent it to
them. Yeah, well, they've already gone on tour by then.
Yeah.
You should have done it fucking quicker.
No, they were sending me reminders saying, you know, we're going to press, you know. So I send it and I hear nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
And you know that's never a good
sign.
You
sent it into the void.
So I rang up and they I didn't get to speak to the bloke who'd rung me.
No.
I spoke to some...
You tell him. You see in the background. No, you tell him. You speak to him. You speak to him.
Yeah, just say sorry. Just say sorry.
Yeah, just say we'll call him back. We'll call him back. Call him back.
They had made a mistake. They thought they were talking to the Mick Wall.
No.
I went, who's the Mick Wall?
Who's the Mick Wall?
He's a writer for the BBC, a comedy writer.
No.
You've never heard of him, have you?
No.
I've never heard of him.
No.
He's real. I Googled him. I'm going, what? I'm
absolute,
not the Mick Wall?
What an absolute piss taker.
So I'm like, will I still get paid?
Yeah.
And they were like, no. I'm like, oh, come on.
No, not will I still get paid. Where's my fucking money?
Well, that's why I needed you there as my manager.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you weren't there.
No.
And I was early days of...
Distraught.
Yeah. You know, I'm an artist. I'm not used to dealing with the business.
No, the business side of things.
The jackals of the business.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're now... I've got to take a picture.
So the renowned...
Don't move. Cause this
the
is too
renowned
good.
Author Mick Wall...
Oh, yeah.
...is told the story... of Dave Grohl in comprehensive detail. Yeah, I bet he did. I bet it was fucking comprehensive.
No stone unturned.
In his 2015 book. Did you do that thing where you go, where you start a book and you've got like 200,000 words to go. So you go, he was born in Seattle. So you go, Seattle was founded by the Amerindians in... 1750.
Well, you've obviously read my book.
Rolled over the hill. And
well, you need
saw
to go deep.
The great expanse.
You need to go deep, and you need to provide context.
Yeah.
No, I didn't with the foos, but I did do that. my 1994 book, Pearl Jam.
Oh, you'd have to, because you, yeah.
Oh, that was the Seattle, you know, that birthed.
Yeah, let's
the
not
grunge scene.
Let's not shatter any illusions. But you didn't exactly have a hotline to Eddie Vedder when you were writing that.
Well, one. Yeah. I mean, you know, I coulda, yeah. You know, but I just thought, you know, I don't need to talk to Eddie.
No, I
Why
know
would
the
I
story.
Talk to Eddie?
What's he gonna say?
What's
really?
He gonna say? Yeah. We're great. The album's great. Yeah. Yada yada
yeah,
yada.
Exactly. Yeah. So very much taking that approach into the Foo Fighters. The renowned author Mick Wall told the story of Dave Grohl in comprehensive detail.
Oh, yeah.
In his 2015 book,
masterpiece,
titled Foo Fighters.
Right. Now hold your.
They've got that wrong.
They've got that.
They've got that wrong.
The book was called Learning to Fly.
Yeah, you did that thing, didn't you?
They've clearly never seen the book.
No.
I just sent them the document.
Oh, did you? Yeah. In this excerpt, we present to you the surreal tale.
Oh, yeah.
Surreal.
Surreal.
That's
you don't read that a lot.
Surreal has become one of those words that is
like iconic.
Exactly. It's essentially
iconic.
Meaningless.
In his iconic 2015 book, got the title wrong.
Yeah.
Surreal tale
of how one great band rose from the ashes of another.
Oh, yeah. You see, that's a story you don't hear every day.
When news broke on the morning of April 8th, 1994.
This is the actual words now.
Yeah.
This is me.
That Nirvana frontman Kurt Cobain had committed suicide at his home in Seattle, loosing a 12-gauge shotgun into his face. Fuck, mate, you didn't hold back there.
I tell you what.
You didn't write that either.
No, I did, but I wrote that for Raw magazine at the time.
Wow.
Which then later appeared.
Made it into the book somehow.
Which later appeared in a very tasteful book that Malcolm Dome and I did. We co-authored.
Loosing.
John, we co-authored. We spent almost a weekend.
Kirk Cobain, My Friend, by Mick Wall and Malcolm Dome.
It was one of those pocketbook
size
books,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that made it into there. And then that, just as inspiration.
Loosing a 20-gauge. I mean, 20-gauge.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
No, you don't, do you?
No fucking
Into
way.
His face.
Yeah. Well, he didn't do it into his toe, did he?
Yeah. I mean,
it wasn't like world headline.
Just
Kurt Cobain blows toe off.
Just makes it sound, you know.
Worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, vivid. That's what you call reportage.
Yeah, that's what
reportage.
It is. Yeah.
Reportage.
But when the news broke, did we know it was a 20-gauge shotgun?
I was able to investigate thoroughly. It wasn't just a case of watching MTV News or any of that rubbish that, you know, amateurs get up to. You know? I remember writing that Raw story.
Yeah.
And cutting to some concert Pearl Jam we're doing where they're like all distraught and Eddie's backstage crying.
Weeping.
And so I wrote it all up. And Jeff Barton was editing it. I don't know, you must have been short of an editor that day, but he was in the office doing some editing. And he goes, Mick, he goes, were you at this show? Yeah. I went, no. He goes, it reads exactly like you were there. I went,
thank you, Jeff.
That's the magic.
You couldn't
Jeff.
Have said anything nice.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I thought at the time, although he seemed to mean it in a slightly disparaging.
Yeah, it's like.
Can't understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Making
I wasn't
this
wasn't
up. Are you making this up? That's what he was saying.
Don't be ripping off the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be ridiculous, Axel.
Yeah. The day Kurt died, not knowing what else to do, that's Dave Grohl, and his partner Jenny Grohl, and other friends, had gone over to bassist Chris Novoselic's house. Chris Novoselic is now a trumpist. It was such a weird time. We were kids, so it was strange. I couldn't listen to music. I couldn't listen to Nirvana. Which is quite sad, because what were all the rest of us doing? We were just playing Nirvana over and over again. You were. I know that. Look, there's a
but
picture.
But you could
Here's
never listen
picture.
To Nirvana, could
Here's
you?
Here's another picture.
Even when Kirk
Look,
was alive.
It's a picture disc.
Ah,
How
those
do they
are the
make
days.
That? It's a picture disc of the baby who's on the cover of
well,
the
back to the
Nirvana's
picture disc
hit album.
Hit years ago when I sold all my everything, records and all the rest of it,
yeah.
I found the few vinyls I had left. And there was about six different picture discs, 12-inch, all in bags. And hello, first Poison album.
Yeah.
Wasp, Fuck Like a Beast.
Yeah.
Some other stuff. I can't remember. Fairly good stuff, I think. And I realised I'd never... Oh, there was a great Slayer one which came in a sort of a cross.
Yeah, I remember that from the office. I remember Crusher wearing it.
Yeah. I used to wear it sometimes. Obviously, yeah. he was the man. Yeah. The track was criminally insane.
Yeah, good track as well.
And I realised with all these picture discs, I'd never played them because. Yeah, it's a picture disc, and somehow in my head
you don't play them.
You don't play them.
No, they're picture discs.
You put them on a shelf in a corner somewhere and never think of them again.
Exactly.
That's what you do. Like with modern vinyl, like my daughters buy records.
Yeah.
One of them does play them, in fairness, but mainly they just buy them to decorate their bedroom walls.
Yeah, yeah. For
ridiculous prices.
You see, then we get to. The end of the piece.
Oh yes, the big
because
finale.
We could go on and on about the piece.
Well, we could.
Like,
we might.
Not.
We might.
There's a sign off here.
Oh yeah.
Mick Wall's book Foo Fighters is available online and in stores.
That's it.
I would sue these fucking bastards. I mean, what are they doing?
I don't know.
And then, actually, though, I will draw this to your attention. There is a picture of said book, and it. Does just seem to be called Foo Fighters.
Give it back. Let's investigate. Let's bring the full force. Well, I'll be damned. That picture they're showing there, that's the paperback.
Right.
The original, and I quite like that. That is good. I'd have been happy with that, because Learning to Fly was a shit title.
It was a shit title. I say this to you every time you do a fucking book. Don't use one of the band's songs as the title. Just don't do it.
So, but the original hardback, like Foo Fighters, Learning to Fly, and it was literally just a picture.
So, are you now retracting the fact that it's called Learning to Fly?
Let me finish. And it was just a picture of the five of them, like just standing in a row, but like from distance. It's just the
What's
most
the point
boring
that?
Cover.
It's like, first of all, who cares about the other four? I mean,
because I made that point because what's his name? The Irish writer, Paul Branigan.
Yeah.
He'd had a huge hit with a Dave Grohl biography.
Wow.
This Is a Call.
Right, right.
And the lady was the new editor at Orion had been the editor on that book at whatever publishing house it had come out on. And she said, well, we can't do another Dave Grohl. And I'm thinking, can't we?
Surely that's so why it was you're publishing. Do you not want me to mention Dave Grohl in the book either? We'll just make it about the other guys.
Why aren't you in the room with these people fighting my corner?
Yeah.
I'll have to bring you there.
You should.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but in fact, practically the first chapter says...
So they've now gone back on that and put out a paperback with a picture of just Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
And they've taken off Learning to Fly and just called it Foo Fighters.
Yes, which they should have done in the first place.
Would you like to apologise to Record Mirror, Record Collector for your words earlier where you said that's
I
not
would
even
like
the title.
To sincerely apologise to.
Yeah, quite right.
I mean. Yeah.
Then we go on and there's just more and more.
Well, it's a Foo
in
Fighters
fact,
special.
They seem to have illustrated every piece with a Foo Fighters picture disc. Maybe that's the thing. No, because there's a look. That's
well,
a,
it's record.
That's a feature about Queen of the Stone Age. So it's
because he was in Queen of the Stone
Who
Age.
Who was?
Dave Grohl.
Was he?
Wow.
Dave Grohl.
Yes.
I don't even know what Queen of the Stone Age are.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
Don't lie. Right, now, John. Any other business before we
well,
before
no,
we
I've
fly?
Not finished going through this yet. Oh, here you go, collecting the foos. Now we're getting to the business. See, have you got any of these things? Because this is what you bloody needed. You know what? I'd fucking kept?
Oh, go on.
And they've got a few of these tape things. Do you remember when they started and their PR was Anton Brooks, who had done Nirvana?
Right. Oh, you mean the Foo Fighters?
The Foo Fighters, yeah. I'm talking about the Foo, not the Starbenders. Stop thinking about the Starbenders. That's all you do these days.
I can't stop thinking about Chick D. Yeah. Chick D.
Yeah. He gave it when he was just trying
Can
to
say... Can I just
say,
I was joking. When I say all I think about is Chick D, Chick D. I wasn't actually That was satirical.
Yeah.
It was ironical.
Yeah.
It was iconic. And it was and surreal. Ironic.
Yeah.
Surreal.
Yeah.
Go on, sorry, what?
Yeah. Anton Brooks, when the Foo Fighters started, I remember him coming around to the office with tape, like cassette tape, and say, and just because he was trying to do it really softly, because, you know, it was the whole thing like Kurt had died and Kirk... Sorry, had died. Had loosed a 20-gauge shotgun into his face.
Is this Kirk or Kurt?
One of the two.
Yeah.
And now Dave was doing his own band. And he carried, just had like little cassettes of like two or three songs. I said, what do you think of that? What do you think, you know? That's what I should have kept. Those fucking tapes.
Instead
they
of
were
throwing
be...
it in the bin, yeah. Which I believe was your put default
in,
position.
Put it in the round file to listen to later.
I remember in the 80s at one point when Kerrang was still in Covent Garden and I bumped into the guy that used to design Flexipop, where I used to do some writing. And then they started doing a monthly thing called Metal Fury.
Yeah.
This is like very early 80s. And it would fold out into a poster.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So I used to edit and write the whole thing.
Right.
And this guy, Mark, he would design that as well as Flexipop. And he was clearly sort of a bit of a rocker. He'd be down in the basement. You could always smell weed and loud music.
Dead giveaway.
And then cut to a few years later, I'm outside the Kerrang office in Covent Garden, and here's Mark. And you know, like when you see someone you used to work with a few years ago, it's like, oh, it's good, but I've got to go.
Hey.
I said, oh, Mark, how's it going? And of course, he said the immortal words, which you always dreaded in those days, still do. I'm in a band.
Have you got that money?
No, I'm in a band. In fact, I've got a tape. Oh. Would you like a copy?
Yeah. Oh,
of course I don't want a fucking copy.
Do I want a copy of your tape?
Yeah. I went...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, really, yeah.
Yeah, mate, absolutely. Fucking good times. Yeah. Hug.
Yeah.
Upstairs. Straight in the bin.
Yeah.
Straight in the bin.
Yeah.
And then about a year or two after that, turned out he was Zodiac Mind Warp.
Yeah.
And he'd been giving me the earliest demo, which got them the deal. And but by the time I found that out, he was already on tour with Guns N' Roses in America. So that turned out well.
Yeah, that turned
out very
well.
Yeah. And on that bombshell,
you never hear of him these days, though, do you?
I suppose not. No. He's one of those. We should do a whole episode on those that shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah. You've said that before. We never have.
We never do it, no.
Just because it's not that interesting.
Oh.
That's why.
Yeah, well, some of us still remember Zodiac Mind Warp.
Yes. Love Reaction. What was his song called?
Prime Mover.
Oh, he's remembered. He's done it.
No, there was one before Prime Mover. God, that was the good one.
Let's really end this now.
We will leave you on that cliffhanger.
Play a bit of the Starbenders to see us out.
And we'll see you out with...
what's it called?
Ooh, that is a chick, isn't it? There's a little video that goes with it on Spotify. Listen, go to Spotify, play Body Talk by Star.
Body Talk.
Because there's a body right there, it's talking, and it ain't a dick. Calm yourself, John. Until the next goodbye.
Farewell.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How do I stop this, Fern?